Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr. invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the latest edition of the BBP. It's the Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewing Company. And it's an exciting day here at the BBP, here at the Deuce, because I don't know how highly anticipated this is by anyone other than you two.
Hey, the one guy at 50 West Brewing Company, first question.
Yes.
Asked when this was going to go
down. It's highly anticipated.
Yes.
It's a year in the making.
So we have James Rapine. Hot take, James. I hate to even call you by anything other than hot take, James. Yeah. HTJ in the house.
Did you coin that? Did we coin that?
Yes, we absolutely coined
that. We definitely
coined that. You realize that turned into a segment on ESPN 1530.
And
you guys get no credit.
No, we don't.
We get no credit.
It makes me mad.
It started from when I was up in, we were doing a live one with Mo, I believe, and we had started referring to you as Hot Take James, and we started doing it there during that segment, and Mo got all excited about how that should be a segment. And
well, because the week prior on the podcast, didn't Jim rant? He had this big rant about me because I was being critical of Andy Dalton.
Yes.
Or accurate.
That's kind of where this whole thing started.
Yes.
And, but I
so we've had fun with it over the last two years.
You're right.
And I can't believe I called him Andy.
So this had to happen. So, but this is it. I mean, we now, once our guy at the live BBP said, when is this going to happen? We realized we had let this slip through the cracks.
So it's highly anticipated.
And you really can't have a better time to talk about it than right now when the quarterback's future will be debated by whoever the next coach is here in the building. So the perfect time to do this is right here. Spread the Christmas cheer with all the hot takes and anger and rage that will come for this.
Neither of us are angry because we're both, well, I'm right.
Adamant.
You both think he's right.
How about that? Passionate?
Yeah. Sure.
All right.
Yeah.
I would just like to say this is the holidays if we could try to keep this clean.
No.
Jim's opinion and takes about Andy Dalton are as accurate as is Andy's deep balls.
Yeah.
They're way out of bounds.
Come on.
There's one.
That's
it's true.
Do you want a zinger sound?
Did you insert the zinger or
no,
not?
No, I mean
it's super inaccurate.
They've got to be better than that.
Come on, Jim.
Okay, all right, here we go. Here is the setup. All right,
feels like first take.
I'm backing out of this.
Where's
the
camera?
I know. I'm like the random person that they just cycle through first take.
Make sure the moderator.
This is completely irrelevant
until you move up to SportsCenter.
First of all, I don't want this to sound like first take. I'd like to think we could have some sort of actually intelligent discussion.
Well, that's only a one-way street.
Yeah. God.
Oh, Jim.
Anyway, so I'm just gonna set a topic out there. I will decide when that topic has been
tied up.
Then we will move on to the next one. I currently have three, but I'm sure like three more will come out of whatever you guys.
Are you gonna separate us if I throw an elbow?
I would let no physical. I will disqualify you. It's like touching the referee. You can't do it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're treating me like Vontez.
I am. Okay. You have a target on your back.
You have a reputation that precedes you.
Yeah.
So all right,
it's that hot take reputation.
So here we go. This is it's officially time to kick off the show. By the way, if you're listening, this is not the only thing you want to scroll forward past all of this. We will be getting to our much anticipated predictions of this of the Lions game on Sunday.
And I'm sure people want to hear that.
Yes, and Optimistic Bobby will be in a little bit. Yeah. And he did tell me at the very beginning of the season, the first one of these we did, you have to be optimistic until a team hits 9 losses. So I'm actually curious what the optimism is going to be with Optimistic Bobby when we talk to him today. That all is coming later. And, of course, the hot seat from BTS, Doc, and Clint Bowling. All right, let's get to this, though. It is time for the showdown. The first one is simple. I think this is a good general broad brush to get us going. Is Andy Dalton good? Hot take, James. You can open.
You want me to open? Oh, of course Andy Dalton's good. There's a reason he's been to Pro Bowls. There's a reason he went to the playoffs 5 straight years. But that's not what we're debating here. Is Andy Dalton good? Is he a top 20 quarterback in the NFL? Sure. So he's one of the 20 best in the world at what he does. That's great, comparatively speaking. But, and we'll get into this, have you watched Andy Dalton the past couple years and thought, yeah, he's good? No, he needs pieces around him. He's a lot closer to Case Keenum than he is Aaron Rodgers or Ben Roethlisberger. And those are the quarterbacks that usually win Super Bowls. And like it or not, you can build this great roster. But in 2015, did you really think they were going up to Foxborough and beating Brady? Not many can, but that's the point. If the goal is to win a Super Bowl, and now you're at this crossroads where you've won 11 games in the past 2 years after winning 12, to me, you can say Andy's good, but we're going to look elsewhere. I know we'll get into that in a second. But yes, to answer your question, Andy Dalton is a good NFL quarterback.
Well, yeah, that's why I said I think this is kind of a softball for both of us because we both agree on that. Where we disagree is in that gray area. I mean, we can both agree Andy Dalton's not a Hall of Famer, right? How many of those are there that we're currently playing or still effective? Because Eli Manning will get in, but that's you can look at his numbers, and that's kind of – that is what it is. But so you got, you know, 5 guys going to Hall of Fame, and they're all 34 and older. Right?
Yeah, because they're established. Some of those young guys will go.
Not your turn, James.
So we've got so he's in that next group, and what that group is good enough to get you to the playoffs and potentially win you playoff games. Yes, because Andy's 0-4, and he's going to live with that. He talks about he's got to hang with it.
It's 0-5.
And in 15, four. To be honest, Tom Brady and the Patriots coming to Paul Brown Stadium for an AFC title game, because that's what would have happened if Andy Dalton would have stayed healthy. I probably would have. I've seen all those games and covering all of those games. I would have picked the Bengals to go to the Super Bowl in 15.
You picking the Vikings to go to the Super Bowl this year?
No, because Andy Dalton's better than Case Keenum.
It's the same
without
thing.
Without a doubt.
Look at Case Keenum's numbers. Yeah. Look at his numbers.
And that's fair. He's having a good year.
Great year.
But he's not. He doesn't have the
deep analytics wise. It matches up with Andy. I mean, the past 2 years, what we've seen from Andy Dalton is he needs to be uplifted.
Okay,
he needs a great roster around him.
Name me anyone outside of the 5-6 Hall of Famers that doesn't need a team around him. Name me. Who's gone?
Of course you need a team around you. Okay. He needs one of the best rosters, if not the best roster in the NFL around him. There's a difference. So, it might be harder to get the Vikings roster around Case Keenum than it is to find the next Russell Wilson, who isn't in your top 5, by the way.
The Vikings roster is just it's
hard to get a great roster to build around a guy like Andy Dalton. To really give yourself a chance.
How
to
many
Super
Bowls
Bowl.
Has Cam Newton been to?
I don't think Cam Newton's in that elite class. Ryan? If I was the Panthers, I would consider. Cam's really limited.
What about Aaron Rodgers? How many Super Bowls has he been to?
He's been to one.
How many Super
Bowls did he win?
How many Super Bowls?
But by the way,
Phil
how many
Rivers
AJ Greens does he have?
Oh, he's Aaron Rodgers.
How many Geno Atkinses are on that defense? They talk about Clay Matthews up there like he's still really good. He's not. Vontaze Burfict.
He was an All-Pro. Geno's an All-Pro. Jordy Nelson, an All-Pro.
He's 32.
Paul?
Jordy Nelson, I believe, has been an All-Pro.
AJ Green has never been an All-Pro, by the way.
AJ Green is better than Andy Dalton. Yes, no. Andy Dalton's the reason.
AJ Green's in the Pro Bowl this year.
What?
AJ Green's in the Pro Bowl this year because people of his reputation, as a good receiver.
How many times have we watched Andy miss AJ on deep balls?
How many times have we seen AJ Green not run around and drop
from
a ball?
From the 2012 playoff game on. Yeah. That's they win the playoff game in 2012. We might not even be here having this conversation. If I posted it the other day. They were down 6 against Houston. Andy has him with 2-plus minutes to go, wide open in the end zone for the game-winning touchdown, misses him. And we've seen that consistently since.
And that's fair because he's not Drew Brees.
All right, that's a good starter.
But he is good.
We're off. Let me say this because I'm just going to do – I'm a referee here. I'll just drop – I think – that is the biggest miss of Andy Dalton's career. You're correct in that.
Sure.
That is the biggest one single throw that could have changed everything in Andy Dalton's career, and he missed it by a few yards, and everybody knows that. And that was a huge miss, and that was a game where they had – that was a team where they had one of the best defenses they've ever had, and they even got a defensive score in the game on a pick six from Leon Hall and weren't able to muster any offense and missed the one big opportunity they have. I will give you that.
I wonder if it would have changed – our
I will say, even Hall of Famers, all the ones you're talking about, have a lot of massive throws in their career that they have missed and wish they would have back. The problem is Andy doesn't have in the playoffs any.
That's the problem.
On the other side of it, he does have
which is fair.
He does have five straight straight playoff appearances under his belt.
I think it's fair to say,
and that. QB wins is not a stat that I stand behind. However, he had a major role in a lot of those wins. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had good defenses, but he won a lot of games for them as well. Let's go to number two, one that you guys started to kind of touch on a little bit. Can Andy Dalton win a Super Bowl? Jim, you get to lead off this time.
Simply, yes. And the reason I say that is because, I look at 15. In that situation, Andy Dalton can win a Super Bowl. But there's a reason Matt Ryan didn't win one. There's a reason why Cam Newton didn't win one. There's a reason why Colin Kaepernick didn't win one. By the way, those are only the last few, if you want to go back a decade in this league, who are not Tom Brady, Ben, or Eli. Right? I mean, they're... this group of quarterbacks is playing in the equivalent of the Jordan Olajuwon era when it comes to, I mean, you had Peyton in the AFC, Brady in the AFC. So I say that, yes, because those three other guys, two of which were in his draft class, one a little bit older, who you wrote, Paul, at the Super Bowl last year, is essentially number one draft pick domed Andy Dalton, which was Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're like the same dude. Mm-hmm. They had teams. 15 was Andy Dalton's Super Bowl year. And that was taken away. He'll never have that, so it's always a what if. But I've watched that team live. So that's why I say he can win a Super Bowl, because they're playing Carolina that year. Do they win it? I don't know. It's a coin flip. Mm-hmm. But I saw it happen. So to me, that's why I say yes, but it has to be like 15.
Your response to that?
Matt Ryan's a better quarterback than Andy Dalton. Cam Newton's a better quarterback. He's limited. He doesn't have a great deep ball. Yeah. He's not super accurate. He's still a better quarterback. There's no one that would take Andy over Cam or Matt Ryan, including the Bengals, probably. I mean, why would they? Can he win a Super Bowl? Look at who's won. That's a good point. With worse rosters than Andy Dalton's had. 2013, this roster was stacked for Andy Dalton. They were favored at home against Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. They had just beaten him a couple weeks before, and they didn't.
But this also goes back to your point of the roster stack. Well, then
he's had
why does Gio fumble? Why does Mike Zimmer, the second coming, the one who got away, his defense give up 30 points to a team that 3 weeks before gave up 10? Like, that's the point. Like, you keep going back to this stacked roster idea, but yet – where has this roster been in those key moments as well? It's not like all these dudes, Eli Manning is going to Hall of Fame because David Tyree made a hell of a catch. Mm-hmm. Like, sometimes, this is why I say this, like, yes, the quarterback is flawed. He hasn't been great. But sometimes, and this goes back to Marvin, you need your players win a game, win a tilt, make a play. AJ Green drops too many balls. Jeremy Hill fumbles. The offensive line falls apart. Where's Geno Atkins in these games? Like, you keep talking about this great roster, which is fair. Where are these dudes? when it matters too, the single quarterback doesn't just win fantastic games. I'm not saying he hasn't played well, because he hasn't. I mean, that bears out true. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just I think it's one or like it's a great roster, or he didn't lose all those games by himself, I guess.
No, of course he didn't. But at the end of the day, if Philip Rivers were on the Bengals that day in 13, guess who wins? That's how I look at it. Like, Philip Rivers never had A.J. Green. And you might say he dropped too many balls, but I just mentioned the game in 12 against Houston. They win that game.
Philip Rivers but it's not Hall of just Famers that one. In LT and Antonio Gates, and he's never gone to AFC
In 2015, what happened? A.J. Green catches the game winner. What should have been the game winner. Yeah. Like, drops too many balls. In 2012, that game I mentioned, he didn't get targeted in the first half. It was unbelievable. I don't know how that happens. So Andy Dalton, look at him, and you might say, yeah, this is a great era for quarterbacks, but I've seen a bunch of young guys step up that are better than Andy as well. True or false, Russell Wilson, you'd take over Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
You know, a Dak Prescott.
Yeah.
No? Why not? No. Because he has what? Old Dez who can't get separation anymore. The Williams kid, I forget his first name, who's not that good. Like, A.J. Green, he's had Tyler Eifert when he is healthy in 15. Yeah, and he produced. But, like, to me, Andy Dalton's had better weapons, had better – and he's had really, really good coaches. Really good coaching.
Although I think there's people in this
outside
building.
Outside of Zampezi.
There's people in this building who would say that the head coach in Washington's the reason for that playoff thing with not – A.J. Green not getting targeted.
Agree, but if you're Andy Dalton and Jay Gruden says that, you're like, screw this. Let me get the ball to A.J. Green. I'm going to throw it to Jermaine Gresham.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole other thing. So can he win a Super Bowl? That's the question, though, is can he win a Super Bowl? And we saw it unfold live in 15. And I don't know how anyone in this town – I mean, Cam Newton – or A.J. – if Andy Dalton – Paul, I don't know. Maybe you disagree with me. If Andy Dalton doesn't break his thumb, he's finishes second in the MVP voting in 15 to Cam.
He's definitely in the top three or four.
Yeah, he's either number two, and I think he gets number two over Brady that year because they're going 14-2 and getting home field in the AFC. So I've seen it. That's why I say yes.
They're now going 14-2.
That 15?
Year, they beat Pittsburgh.
Oh, without a doubt.
Do they? I don't know.
Oh, without a doubt.
Well, they'd already done
at
it
home.
Once.
They'd already done it once, and
they were playing way better at that point.
Yeah, that's happening. And they almost beat. They almost.
I don't know.
Denver
I don't assume wins over the show. I think they would have won the Denver game. Yeah. I think they would have at least gotten the two seed. I agree there.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
The one seed.
They were the one seed. Yeah, they were.
If that happens.
If they beat. So.
So that
transitions us though into.
I get to add every once in a while. It's very hard for me to not talk. Okay, this is challenging for me. If you mentioned Philip Rivers.
Mm-hmm.
I get to be like stat boy, I guess.
Yeah.
Is that what this is?
Yeah.
If you mentioned Philip Rivers, how he only threw 16 passes that day.
Mm-hmm.
He just dumped off. He just sat there and handed the ball off all day. So to say, Philip Rivers on the other side would have been the difference, I don't think that's fair. He was damn near irrelevant in his own team's win. He was just the guy that was handing it off and dumping it off.
Who was he throwing to?
You want to ask me to name all the Chargers?
No,
receivers?
No, I'm Antonio not. Gates the point is
Antonio Gates Hall of Famer. Definitely
was LT still playing?
LT
was
not
in 13.
He was not on that team. No.
He was with NFL Network. Or with the Jets.
Look, my point, and the Matt Ryan comparison is way closer than you want to envision. The same knocks, the same things that were being said about Andy Dalton were being said about Matt Ryan in Atlanta. They were talking about getting rid of him. Yes. Everybody had him in tier three, tier two. Mm-hmm. No one had him in before the Super Bowl run. No one had Matt Ryan as among the top elite quarterbacks. But when the line and the weapons and Mohamed Sanu and all of these things gather around him, suddenly Matt Ryan is able to to engineer a special offense and a run that took him to the Super Bowl. The same thing that was happening with Andy that got him in the MVP and would have gotten Andy Dalton into the same was at the very least in the same conversation and would have lost it to Cam. Those are my two comparisons. We will move on to the next.
So you guys think Andy Dalton's as good as Matt Ryan?
I am saying they are way really closer close. Than you are yeah. giving credit for. They have.
I don't even think Matt Ryan's great, by the way. He's not in that top.
Well, right. I mean, five. That's part of the conversation.
But there's only five guys there. We've already determined
Matt might be top 10. Andy isn't.
Well,
not
that's well, regardless, I'm going to say their careers have followed very similar paths mm-hmm. where once you have put the right things around them. But yet now, because Matt Ryan was able to finish that run, everyone views him in a different category, in a very different light. And that's my point is I think people would be viewing Andy Dalton very differently if he would have had. Now, it's an if.
It's an if. And it always will be there. And
that's the problem.
That.
That's the problem that, is you've got to kind of act on faith a bit with that, and
which
he hasn't given you much of that in the playoffs. However, however, all it takes is one run for everyone to view you differently. Ask Joe Flacco about that.
Right. Joe Flacco's made $200 million
off of that
one run.
And that's when you have the team around you. That's all I'm saying about that. I'm not saying that he is as good as Matt Ryan. I'm saying their career paths have been similar, and they're much closer than you're probably
a lot of Joe Flacco's rosters haven't been nearly – even the Super Bowl run has been good as good as some of Andy's.
Well, Joe Flacco's been bad except for one time.
I'm just letting you know.
One time when he had an amazing defense.
Crazy – yeah, postseason.
In an unbelievable
but he was
run.
On old Anquan Boldin, Torrey Smith, etc. I'm just saying. Even then, then we were like, "Oh, these guys are that good." Oh, were they?
Defense.
All right. So the last one that I have here. How should quarterback drafts be handled?
All right. This I got to start first because James is like 12 years old, so he doesn't understand how this stuff works.
Yeah. I'm
12. This is the one. Honestly, this is the one part. Of our little back and forth that, like, this is the one that infuriates me because when you debate, like, non-Hall of Fame quarterbacks, like, it's a gray area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's no, like, right or wrong or whatever. I mean, I'll stick with NFL guys who would love to have Andy Dalton, but whatever, I get it. Like, he was booed here in 15 at the All-Star game. Like, I understand that stuff. But this part, this, like, drafting of quarterbacks is... I just don't know if you understand how this works or doesn't work. So I'm going to go back to 07. So some historical perspective here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's why I have this little sheet of paper.
Yeah.
Since 2007 to 2017,
mm-hmm.
128 quarterbacks have been drafted.
Okay.
Only 18 remain as starters. 18 out of 120.
Okay.
128. Okay. 16 earned a second contract. Two start. Five of those 16 had to get that with the second team. And I'm talking about Matt Flynn, Mike Glennon, Sam Bradford. So there's three of those 16 that signed a second contract to start, and two of them never even finished those deals.
Mm-hmm.
10 of those 128 have reached the playoffs. All right? Only 10 of those guys have gone to a Pro Bowl. Only eight of those 128, eight of those 18 starters have a winning record. Five have been to Super Bowls, two MVPs, one Super Bowl win. So that's a 10 years. Mm-hmm. Like that pyramid. Now, where's Andy in that? Andy's in the 18. He's in that, like, to the point of the Super Bowls and MVPs.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll start there. You know, multiple Pro Bowlers, there's only six. He's in that. And while Pro Bowlers like, oh, what about that? Let's see, how many Pro Bowls? Stafford, everybody's favorite son, no playoff wins, one Pro Bowl. You know, Kirk Cousins, Andy's been in as many Pro Bowls as Andrew Luck. You know, it's just people like to knock that, and he actually would have four if he didn't get hurt in 15. So we'll get into some roster stuff here with the Bengals specifically, but like I just wanted to say, like, it's not – you don't just draft quarterbacks all the time, and you're like, oh, there's always someone better. The math shows that there's like four guys better in the last 10 years.
Who said there's always someone better? And there is – first off, there is one guy in every single draft that will be better than Dalton. I mean, I could go Prescott, better. Like it or not, he is. Wilson, better. Deshaun Watson, better. We don't know about Pat Mahomes. Like, Andy Dalton is closer to Alex Smith. Are you letting Alex Smith prevent you from considering drafting a quarterback? I'm not saying go out there and draft seven quarterbacks. I'm saying evaluate it and stop treating Andy like a baby where we don't want to hurt his feelings and draft someone. Like, that's it. Like, A.J. McCarron was never – ever a threat to Andy Dalton. And it kills me that people think that. But what's the harm in looking at a quarterback in round two or round one?
But again,
knowing it's the most important position in sports.
So that's,
the draft is a crapshoot, period.
And that, again, is a wrong thing. So here, 2011, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's start. Let's be realistic about this.
Yeah.
Okay, Carson quits. They can't get Cam. They would have picked Cam if he dropped.
Agreed, yep.
So we agree that it was they made the right choice in drafting A.J. Green over Lockett, Gabbert, Ponder in the first round.
Wait,
no. We agree, right?
Yes.
Okay. So Andy at 35. Good pick, right? They needed
a great
pick. Okay. So now we have a rookie, Andy Dalton, 9-7. They go to the playoffs. So second year, 2012. No shot at Luck. No shot at RG3. No shot at Tannehill, right? Because that's all before.
Mm-hmm.
So do they take Brandon Whedon over Dre in the first round?
I wouldn't have taken Dre, but no.
Do they take Brock Osweiler over Devin Still?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
You shouldn't have taken Devin Still either.
So now you're saying in the fourth round of 2012, you just went to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback you just drafted with essentially a first-round grade, they should have taken Russell Wilson.
Well, in hindsight, absolutely. But here's the thing. Moment. They weren't looking. After that rookie year of Andy, no, you're not looking at quarterback.
All right. So then 13, now his third year.
Mm-hmm.
So now they go 9-7 again in 12, whatever that was. So 13, that draft was terrible. E.J. Manuel, Geno Smith, Mike Glennon, mm-hmm. Matt Barkley, Ryan Nassib. I'm guessing you wouldn't have wanted to take it in year three of Andy. Okay. So now we're into 14.
Even then you look, though.
Extension time, right? So now you got to decide.
Mm-hmm.
Andy's going to come up. He's got 1 year left on the rookie deal. He's been in three straight playoffs, won 30 games. Team is trending upward, right? We can agree on this.
Yes.
30 games in 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, you're kind of seeing what he is. He's 24. All right. So now you make the decision to give him an extension for all of the reasons I just listed of the 128 picked and all that stuff. So they're not in position to take Blake Bortles.
Mm-hmm.
Do they take Johnny Football instead of Tyler Eifert if he's there? In the first round of in 14.
No. I get that,
so
but no.
Should they
Especially
have taken,
with his drug abuse.
Should they have taken Teddy Bridgewater first round in the first round of 2014?
I would have looked at him. Again,
okay.
Looked.
Okay. So,
and that's not saying we don't know what Teddy is yet, really,
and,
with the injury.
Right. And that's part of this, and this goes even going forward. So you're thinking they give Andy $95 million. They decide to do that. Was that a bad decision to lock him up?
No, look, Andy Dalton is a bargain at that.
Right.
Here's the thing. We're going through all this. I didn't start saying that they needed to consider finding an Andy Dalton replacement back then.
And, well, here we go. Okay, so now they sign the extension. So now 2015, first year of the deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
As we just said, he blossoms. He is in the MVP conversation. They are the best team in the AFC, right?
But the draft was before that.
Right. So, but you see it coming. Not in position for Winston, not in position for Mariota. Do they take Garrett Grayson instead of Tyler Croft in the third round? Seriously, these are the picks drafted. Sean Mannion instead of Tyler? Okay. Now, because they have AJ McCarron on the roster. They did draft a quarterback,
by the way.
They
just drafted him, yeah.
Okay, so now we're in the 15 draft. Now we know what that was. Andy just was in the MVP conversation.
Mm-hmm.
He's right. So second year of the deal, 15 draft. You're thinking, what? Okay, he's ascending. Clearly, statistically, the team is at its peak in 15.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so where are we at? Are you?
When did this start?
When
did you and I have this beef? When was it? It was last year.
Yeah. When?
Why? Because Andy Dalton probably had the best performance I had seen from him, which was in New York, week one of 2016, when he put the team on his back, got sacked seven times, and found a way to win, and I haven't seen that Andy Dalton since, period. That was probably better than any of his MVP game, games where he was in the MVP race in 2015, because he won in spite of his team. Very rarely have we seen
– just this last year.
My beef is when you see that Andy Dalton can't elevate the roster after you've extended him and you've whiffed in the draft, you need to find – you've whiffed in the draft at some of these positions. You need to find a quarterback, or you hope to find a quarterback that can do that, because you got the – you see now in 2016 and this year that Andy Dalton, it's confirmed, even with 2015, that's the outlier year. If you get everything perfect around right. him, he can be great. But without that, and that's very hard to do, then you're going to have to nail defensive line picks,
right.
offensive line picks. You're going to have to spend money in free agency to keep the good players around, because it's really hard to replace Marvin right. Jones. All of that has to hit. And to me, that is just as difficult as finding one of those great quarterbacks. So I say keep tabs on it and realize that he's closer to Alex Smith than he is one of these great quarterbacks that can put the team on his back.
But I think they knew that. But that's what I'm saying in real life. Real life.
Did the Chiefs, they traded up to get one.
And Alex Smith's 35.
The Bengals have been blessed with losing this year, so they have a chance to look at some of these quarterbacks. They won't even have to trade up to get one if they think that there's a star there.
So why? Here's the thing.
Like,
so
what does
after,
that hurt?
So going into the 16 draft, so after the – so you were okay with them not looking at – which they did get Jeff Driscoll, by the way, class of 16. They added a drafted
yeah,
quarterback.
They
so
claimed
in 16, they go to – so after that year –
That's when you heard me talking about this on the radio. That's when Hot Take James was born.
So going into 16, after his best year at the age of 28, you're like, oh, man, they need somebody.
No.
Okay.
Last season.
So they do 16, but they knew that. So your biggest issue is that they picked John Ross, your boy, instead of Patrick Mahomes.
I would never, and I've said this, and I like John Ross a lot. If they think a franchise quarterback is there, you pick him.
Isn't
Deshaun Watson? Who would you rather have, knowing what you saw, man?
Well, knowing when what I saw is a dude who's not going to play until next year, and there's
because
plenty
he tore
QB.
His ACL. Are you saying that about Carson Wentz too?
Yeah.
Stop.
RG3 tore an ACL.
Okay, so when Andy broke his thumb, it's like, oh, he's injured.
Sample size still small, is all I'll say. I mean,
I have a real hard time going good. With 10 games.
Looks, I would like to see any quarterback, yeah. any quarterback,
sure.
Josh
play
Freeman
a couple
great
of seasons
year.
And keep at a certain level. We've seen, like you mentioned, RG3. We've seen quarterbacks
yeah.
have good years, and then all of a sudden they're off the
yeah.
face.
We've seen them have great outlier years like Andy in 2015. That's my point.
Dak Prescott last year.
It's really hard. Dak Prescott's been fine this year. He's never had a receiver close
not
to AJ Green. Could you imagine?
Dez Bryant is not close to
Jason
AJ Green.
Witten's a Hall
this
of
year,
Famer.
Dez Bryant?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. No, nowhere near. Yeah. Marvin Jones is much better than Dez Bryant this year. Seriously.
But Paul's like, oh.
No,
it's
true.
I'm not in this. I'm not
so,
in this.
It's true.
So basically you are okay with and everyone knew that. I think everyone – So and here's the thing, James. I think you're wrong in saying it's harder or just as hard to build a roster than to find the great quarterback.
Build a great roster. So that doesn't mean you have to get one great quarterback. You have to get great offensive line play, solid
Which
running
this
game,
team has
great
done.
Offensive and defensive coordinators, great defense.
Well, the team's kind of done it. I mean, you keep talking about a great roster, and I'll say, look,
he elevated
good,
the 15
but,
roster.
I mean, some of this stuff is. The 15 roster was the perfect storm of dudes being healthy all on all sides of the ball and guys in their prime. But
I'm not saying get rid of Andy. I'm saying he's not good enough to say I'm not looking and putting up the visor. I'm not looking at quarterbacks, especially when you're picking in the top 10, which this team will have done for the second straight
right.
year. It's that simple.
We can't go into 17 because a new head coach changes everything, and that's a whole other debate. But going into this year, first of all, people forget last year they talked Super Bowl. This year they talked about going back to the playoffs because they felt that roster was good enough. And clearly we have found out that this great roster the Bengals have constructed actually really hasn't been that good.
Well, because they've bangled free agency. There's no doubt about that.
Which is fine. So I think that's the thing. There's no – it's easy in hindsight to say Deshaun Watson had a great 8 games and Carson Wentz has had a great second year. Well, and we couldn't even take Wentz. But, like, and Mahomes, who knows what Mahomes
Wouldn't it be,
be
great to have Pat Mahomes behind
I don't
Andy
know.
Dalton moving forward?
How do I know if Pat Mahomes is better than A.J. McCarron?
I feel better about Kansas City's quarterback situation than I do the Bengals.
We don't know anything about Pat. I mean, you talk about small sample size and Deshaun Watson. We don't know anything about Pat Mahomes.
That's the point.
They feel like he's
the
Jake Locker.
They feel like he's the franchise guy. That's the point.
That's fine.
And I want the Bengals to be open to looking.
Who said they weren't?
Looking
for that. I don't know that they aren't open. Here's the only thing I want to say to kind of tie a bow around this, because this is just going to go on forever. I think the one area of this that's sort of forgotten is the implementation of and how you do this without ending up being like all of these teams that are just in a quarterback rotation carousel, because you have to give a guy a chance. You have to let a guy go have growing pains and to find out if they're real. And if they're not, you end up back in the wash again. And you're the 90s Bengals, where you're just churning, trying to get the because the numbers show they don't work out except for it's a complete crap.
He's in such a small group of really good players.
It's really the quandary that they're in, right? And that's really the issue, is that it's the Andy Dalton paradox, where you're in one where you know you can win. Can you take the next step? Would you rather be in the carousel of trying to find the right guy and hoping that you maybe hit, that you don't have Jake Locker, that you instead have Carson Wentz or Deshaun Watson, whoever you think? You're hoping. You don't know, especially when you're not picking one or two. It's a complete crapshoot. And so to jump into that water is a scary thing. I don't know how any team should be.
That's why Ryan Tannehill got a deal.
Circumstances matter, though. Like, if Andy Dalton goes to Cleveland, he doesn't get a second deal there because the roster around him is awful. Like, that's what Matt – like, the Bengals have built a safe zone. Like, if Case Keenum was here in 15, I don't think Case Keenum's that great, but he would have had a pretty good year knowing what he's doing this year. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick threw for 30 touchdowns a couple years ago. Like, if you build a good roster – then some of these quarterbacks that aren't in the stats that Jim said can put up pretty good numbers.
But not for 8 years, though.
Correct, and that's right. Andy Dalton is steady. He's a reason that the next head coach of the Bengals is going to want to come here.
Yes.
But at the same time, I don't think he's a big enough reason to say, and Marvin Lewis did say this last year, that they're not looking at quarterback. He said, we're looking everywhere but quarterback. That's like, I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said.
Yeah, that's what he said.
And that boggles my mind, because what have you seen from Andy Dalton when the roster isn't up here and my hand is up in the air, listeners, really high, that says, oh, I'm not going to look at some of these quarterbacks? To me, you have to.
Because the only quarterbacks that would come in and be able to unseat him went 1 and 2 in that draft.
I mean, that's part of it, too. Like, you don't.
Deshaun Watson wouldn't have unseated him?
I mean, no one knew that.
No,
hindsight BS is ridiculous on Deshaun Watson. That everybody in the league was like, "Oh my God, Deshaun Watson's going to be amazing."
No one knows. That. That's my point.
No one knew that.
That's the point. They're not going to draft 1 and 2 because they have such a good roster. The NFL's stupid, and they look at physical ability and stuff.
No one would ever know, because that guy has to play to disprove all of this.
That's Houston.
And he's not going to play.
Did Houston get it right?
Right now.
It seems like Houston got it right.
Maybe.
They had Tom Savage as their other option.
Yeah, we'll see. The thing with Mahomes, too, just for the record, I mean, the Bengals worked out Patrick Mahomes. I mean, like, they, at the time of this stuff going together, remember Mahomes was like in a second round early mock draft guy? I mean, really, like, when this all kind of started for Mahomes, and then
he went way higher than anyone thought he would go.
So, like, they're not doing due diligence, and I don't think Marvin was wrong in saying they weren't going to pick a quarterback at 9. They're going to pick a quarterback this year. I mean, maybe McCarron's gone.
If they did pick a quarterback, he would have to say that they weren't going to.
Right.
And here's the thing. So that's fine. I get it. I get him saying that. Bengals pick a quarterback in round 2. Fine. Beef with it. I'm asking.
This coming year?
Yes.
I mean, it's definitely – I mean, it's a new head coach.
At the very least, they need to fill the backup position.
Yeah, McCarron's gone, and the dynamics are different going forward, because any new quarterback drafted now's rookie deal outlasts Andy's. Mm-hmm. So now you're – and then Andy's going to be 32, 33, which quarterbacks in this league can be effective to 35.
Andy does Pilates too, but so
like,
I think it'll be fine.
So I mean, you have to, new head coach, like, so going forward, all of that stuff we're back on the table. But like, at least up until the 17 draft, like that, like, you're right. People, you know what Andy is, and while that may infuriate people, the Bengals felt their roster was good enough to do what they did in 15. Mm-hmm. And now clearly this talent they quote-unquote have had has not been here.
Mm-hmm.
Like, natural attrition, coaching attrition, injury, So, you know, but again, the point is there's only so many quarterbacks who elevate their quote unquote elevate their teams. And again, that that you're talking about the greatest of all time in Ben Roethlisberger.
There's more quarterbacks drafted that are supposed to be the ones to elevate their teams that instead completely drag them down into the cellar of the league for a long period of time. The percentages are much greater if you draft a quarterback that you want to get one of those guys. If you want to get Rodgers or Ben or whoever, the percentage chances are much greater that that guy is going to flop or not be as good as what Andy Dalton currently is and drag you down in this into a abyss of Bears, Browns, Broncos now, all of this. That's where all these teams that are trying to find quarterbacks live, because you have to live with you don't know and you hope and it doesn't work out. So, and now you got to draft another
one. The contract part, and that's part of it too, the contract part, James. The Andy is the 20th highest paid quarterback. He'll fall even. That's almost like finding Russell Wilson or Dak Prescott on the rookie deal. And Andy was in that boat as a second round pick with that. Because it is easier. Now we can quibble about the Bengals and free agency and whiffing on the draft from 13 to 16. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll agree with you. We'll probably lockstep on that stuff. But it is easier to have a quarterback getting paid the 20th ranked, good enough to go to Pro Bowls. Whatever people want to say about that, I ran through the list since 2007, there's not that many that have gone, let alone
you
three,
can
four
build
and a lot of the young guys a lot contract. Of the young guys aren't so included in that though.
It's easier to build a roster around a quarterback like Andy with that low of a pay because you can pay everyone else, and that goes back to other issues. And
I was gonna say I can't that'll open just up a whole nother worms because they haven't taken that much.
I want to do if you have a final thought.
Oh, final thought.
If you have whatever you were going to say, it felt like a final thought.
Yeah, ultimately, Andy Dalton is good.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He's good.
I guess I will.
So we agree there. To me, saying, oh, well, these organizations got it wrong with this guy, or well, do you trust your personnel department? You got to evaluate it. It sucks. Yeah. It's hard to get it right at quarterback. But you mentioned Roethlisberger. He was picked 15th. Like, it's not like the best guys. Sam Bradford went one. You know, like you
guy
can,
coming in this weekend went number one. He's made $200 million doing jack.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like,
but so, circumstances matter. Matthew Stafford's better.
I thought he's supposed to elevate the franchise. He's supposed to elevate everyone, James. He's supposed to elevate everyone because he's amazing.
The Detroit Lions are an awful organization. Are the Bengals a better organization than Detroit or not?
He had Calvin Johnson.
Okay, but what name one defensive player that was really good in Detroit?
But he's supposed to elevate.
I mean,
I'm asking because that's the point. He hadn't had a defense. He almost beat Tony Romo with his best team in, 14 or 13?
I'm just saying, it's like, not like the myth of the elevating quarterback is, you know.
I was
like
pausing dramatically to say Ndamukong Suh, but
right.
I mean,
well, yeah, I know.
It's okay.
Yeah.
There's
one.
Their defensive line was great for Stafford. Remember that?
Yeah. They,
when they all signed Fairley and all those guys, they all signed.
So Andy Dalton's better than Stafford.
And Calvin Johnson was there.
Andy Dalton's better than Stafford?
They're about the same.
I'm saying there was a while. I mean, there's certainly you could have made a case that one has been more productive with what he's had than the other one, and it's Andy Dalton. I would say that there is.
He's been more productive with what he's had.
Yeah,
he's had more.
Won games. How much more has he had? When you're talking about
seriously?
Calvin Johnson and the Detroit Lions defensive line that they had. I mean, they have had plenty. Detroit and Cincinnati have been very similar. Everyone's like, God, look at all this talent. Why do they always lose?
Right.
But except they had the number one guy who's supposed to elevate everybody. I'm not getting into that. You know what? The one thing I wanted to say was I thought the one misstep, and I'll never forget this because I told Doc hates talking about the draft. He hates worrying about the draft. I told Doc in 2014 on day two, you need to come down here because it's a big deal if they don't take Jimmy Garoppolo, because we knew that was the year they took AJ McCarron. We knew at some point because they were looking at the position. There was doubt over what Andy Dalton was going to be. They signed into a contract that they could get out of.
Right.
So it was like, how aggressive will they be with filling the backups?
Right.
The Patrick Mahomes scenario where you bring him in, he's known he's a backup, but how aggressive are you towards the future? I thought Jimmy Garoppolo that year was – the type of spot that would have hit them perfectly in 2014. They did not. They were not aggressive towards it. They went with McCarron, who ended up being a great value pick, but he was still AJ McCarron in the fifth round. To me, in this whole Dalton thing, I thought that was the one year that they missed it. They should have been more aggressive because that was the spot where you could groom a guy for multiple years and not put pressure on Andy Dalton, but still have been aggressive in case it falls apart. And I don't think they were aggressive enough there.
Right. Who drafted him?
The New England Patriots.
Why? They have the greatest quarterback of all time.
Absolutely. No. I'm literally agreeing with you.
No, I know. I'm not arguing with you. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, but that's
we're not talking about first-round picks.
No, that's my point. Now we're going back into roster construction. Because, look, the Patriots can do that, and I give them credit, and Bill Belichick, because he gives no Fs about Tom Brady. And they draft a ton of quarterbacks. We've known that. Mallett and Hoyer and Brissett and Garoppolo and name the whole list. But the reason they can draft those guys in the second, third round is because they also spend money in free agency. So they're that's the thing. I mean, this isn't the quarterback. It's roster. Like, the Bengals can't afford to draft quarterbacks in the second round to just sit there and hope they're great because they don't spend on free agency. Like, that's why the Patriots can do that. They can, quote unquote, waste the second round pick that they'll never play because they'll spend $20 million on Stephon Gilmore. Mm-hmm. So that to me is not, you know, babying Tom Brady, whatever you and Mo want to call it. It's just they run things differently because they spend that, quote unquote, draft capital on actual cash and trades, and then use their drafts for other things like that. So I think it's more of a philosophical difference of roster construction.
And they find all their other players off the scrap
heap. They raid the Bengals practice squad for Pro Bowlers.
Because they have one of the two guys that can actually elevate.
Right. And again, that's an outlier. Like, the Pats are outliers.
We are so far.
You started it with Jimmy G. It's your own fault.
That's the only thing I wanted to say the whole time. It's the only misstep I thought they made. The only misstep I thought they made was they should have been more aggressive when they had the spot to fill. And now, again, they have the spot to fill. And I think it is time to be aggressive.
I think new head coach will be aggressive. Coach, Andy's contract, it will outlive it. I could see them going second or third round, and that'd be fine.
Or even first.
I have a hard time thinking
if they If they believed... Again, it goes back to personnel. If they believed in the guy, and that's all I'm saying.
Right. Be open to it because
Andy
Dalton
is different. Now it's a new head coach.
They will.
It's different.
I hope so, and I hope they don't take a guard real quick. Draft thing.
No.
2 seconds. Everyone keeps saying, "Oh, Notre Dame guard." I forget his name.
No one's taking a guard in the top 10.
Here's why you don't.
No one here is.
Because the Bengals didn't pay the one they had.
They got 5 years out of him.
Correct, but you better not take one in the top 10, knowing that you're going to let him walk in 5 years.
People get so mad about the Zeitler thing. They got five great years on the cheap out of Kevin Zeitler. Mm-hmm. That is a great draft pick. Just because you didn't feel it was worth it to pay him $60 million does not mean that that wasn't a great draft pick and it wasn't the one that they should have made and that there wasn't value in that. They went to a bunch of playoff games partially because of that pick, but that doesn't mean that it was right to pay any guard $60 million.
I just wouldn't take one in the top 10.
Well, right.
Okay.
The guy better be a tackle if you're taking him at that spot. All right. This was really, I don't know what we learned.
So, it's simple. Andy Dalton's good. The Bengals should draft a quarterback. Even Jim agrees with that.
That's fair. We'll wrap.
So basically, we talked in circles, and Jim and I kind of agree.
I don't think that you did kind of agree. I heard way too much here disagreement to think that you kind of.
I think we kind of did. He threw out his numbers and tried to, seven quarterbacks out of 5,000 are good.
This is a lesson to Washington. This is a lesson to those on both sides of the aisle.
Yeah.
Is that you can find common ground and still hate the other guy.
And still be completely right.
Exactly.
And he's completely wrong.
I'm completely right.
You can still feel that way, but still admit that there was common ground and you found one sliver of land that you could both stand on.
Wouldn't it be great if I'm
happy to say that I witnessed.
Wouldn't it be great if they had picked Dak Prescott?
That's a good place to end. All right. Well, thank you. Hot take, James. What do we need to plug here? Cincy 360 every day at noon, right?
Yeah, noon to 1. Noon to 1. On ESPN 1530. Tune in. It's less.
Is it similar to this?
No, no way. Mo and I, we have discussions. We don't. Mo isn't wrong the whole time like Jim has been during this podcast.
Okay. So Cincy 360 every day. And of course, you're always doing your Dynamite drop ins and segments from 3 to 6 as well with Mo. Hot takes of the week. Which
thank you guys for that, by the way. Hottest takes of the week.
We have gotten no credit for this. No. We created Hot Take, James. We created the hottest takes of the week. And yet
Mo created the hottest takes of the week. But you created
Hot Take.
So what
did you
James.
Even do except for just say stuff?
I bring the takes. What do you mean? I'm the star. You guys create it. And then I bring the takes.
We produced you. We produced you into being a star. So you're welcome by that for that.
Does that mean you're my dad? You produced me?
I mean, produced.
I tried to make you feel really awkward. I hope that made you.
I think everyone just turned us off. Everyone, if they didn't hit stop, they should have, because that's really awkward.
By the way, I forgot to say this.
I'm not your dad.
Blandy Dalton.
Yeah.
Draft a quarterback.
Yeah, you got to get that in there.
Blandy. I can't believe I didn't drop a Blandy Dalton.
Not a single one.
Good nickname.
That's part
of
your shtick. Part of your shtick.
I think that might be better than Hot Take James.
How
Blandy.
This ended up at 50 minutes is beyond me. I lost all control. I'm a terrible referee.
Did.
I was terrible at this.
You really never, you never cut in.
Next I'm 2 hours. I'm good at not talking. Like, it is painful for me. It's the only thing I know how to do is just talk my way out of a segment, but I couldn't do it. I had to let you guys go.
So don't be scared to draft a QB.
This up. That's it. Thank you, James. Everybody listen to ESPN 1530. Of course, thanks for coming on. It was fun, I think. We'll move on to the next segment, but we're going to end this one. All right, we're all going to exhale.
Yeah,
just kind of now that Hot Take James is gone. I think let's go right from all of the antagonistic stuff, and let's get optimistic. Let's bring in optimistic Bobby because it is time for his optimistic takes, and we'll see where he's at with the 9-loss scenario now in play. So here's 50 West Brewing Company owner Bobby Slattery.
All right, it is that time again, and really one that has been unfortunately on the horizon for a while now. It is 50 West owner Bobby Slattery. It's time for Optimistic Bobby. And, you know, you've said all year you have to have optimism, you have to have hope until you hit that 9-loss mark. Well, here we are at the 9-loss mark. Where are we at now? How are you doing?
Sure.
Which one was that? What were you attempting?
Sure. I'm copying Marvin. I'm just using Marvin talk. Yeah, sure.
So you've subbed out Houday for sure. That's perfect.
I feel like it's only fitting, right? After the last couple weeks.
Fitting.
If I can give you a sure. Was it you on Twitter who said that should have been the slogan for this year's team? It's sure.
That's,
I think that was you, right?
That was me. That's correct.
It was great. I thought it was brilliant.
That was after I'm a Coach Football, which was also a very nice response. So.
Oh, jeez. Well, we're here. We made it to the ninth boss. You know, from the optimistic side, showcases how I view football. You know, I'm just happy we made it this deep in the season where we got the root. For every game until we reached, you know, the endless games. There were seasons where this happened much earlier. So I'm happy I made it this far. It's almost Christmas, and I was rooting for football games the whole time, and now we got 2 games left that I don't know what there is to root for. You just kind of root for that nobody gets wildly injured and the team, you know, shows up to some extent. Or you hope they lose and we get a high draft pick.
Will you be in attendance on Christmas Eve day with your stuffed cats?
Such a great question. I'm going to totally do the flake move, though. I'm going to bring my son with me, which means that we're going to make it to halftime, which usually involves us. We're going to be buying the Vontaze Perfect Lego from the Bengals Pro Shop. That's going to be the whole conversation.
Yeah.
It's going to be, when can we get this Lego? So, I'll be there for Christmas. My son's going to be he's very excited about this. He has the Andy Dalton one and the AJ Green. The only one left to get is Vontaze Perfect, so. So we'll be there, but chances are I probably won't make it much past halftime. Call me
That's
back.
Probably
band,
for the best.
You know.
You'll see right? all the competitive portions of this game.
Yeah, and my son and I are like working on football. We've been working on it I've been using Tecmo Bowl to try to educate him.
There you go.
Which, you know,
football is a very hard thing to explain to a child. It's just none of it makes sense. You have to be like, well, you get 3 points if you kick it through this time and 1 point there. It's like, but anyway, so we're gonna work on football education with the hope that, you know, next year he's ready to sit with me and watch it and have interesting opinions about the game.
while teaching him, this is not what good football looks like. Make sure he knows that.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Next year, I feel like that team is going to be an entirely different team. Lots of hope, lots of energy.
Here we go. I was going to say, I need the optimistic takes. So what are your optimistic takes in the nine loss scenario here?
I guess, I feel like the team is not that bad. At least, I feel like this isn't like a completely hopeless team. Like that team that showed up to play the Steelers, you know, that was a good team, I felt like, in the first half, and they fell apart. But I feel like it's the NFL. I don't think next year is a complete, I don't think you're going into next year like, oh, God, where do we even start? I think it's like, all right, fix a couple things here and there, and maybe they're better. And obviously with all the Marvin stuff going on, maybe there's maybe we have a new coach, and maybe that's for the better. I don't know. We'll have to see.
We will have to see. All right. So what's your question? What do you got for us? Where are we at now?
I got to hit you guys up with coaching questions here. So okay. I'm going to hit, I always like getting your inside take on this stuff. So I'm not going to ask you who the next coach is going to be. I'm not going to ask you who you guys want. I'm going to ask you what are the things you're going to miss, assuming Marvin leaves? What are you going to miss the most about Marvin, and what are you going to miss the least about Marvin?
Okay. That's a good one. Oh, this is sweet. We're gonna talk about our favorite things about the head coach. It's like we're all gonna hug it out here. This is great. It's very Christmassy. I feel like that's a very Christmas.
It's Christmas season. You got to talk about what you love, what
it's
you don't
Christmas
love.
And Festivus, because we can have the airing of the grievances, also have the like good holiday cheer. We can do both.
Yeah, I don't want to get into too much family time about my personal family, but a fun fact, we're working on, in my family, my grandmother passed away earlier this year, and there's been a family rift. They're originally from Cleveland, and there was a legit family fight over whether grandma was going to get buried in a Browns jersey or not, and family members are still not talking to each other over there.
Buried in a Browns jersey?
I know. They're from Cleveland originally. I mean, I don't follow them. So grandma did not get buried in the Browns jersey, which has left certain family members upset, and we're hoping that they can make amends over the holidays and they'll start talking to each other again.
Wow. So this could be a dicey little get together, huh?
I think the holidays are going to solve everything. And I know grandma's up there, whether she was buried with her Browns jersey or not. I know if the Browns ever win a game, let's start with that. But if they were to win the Super Bowl, I know she'd be happy. Doesn't make me a Browns fan. I don't want anybody thinking I'm a Browns fan. I'm Bengals true and true, but yeah. So anyways, I'll let you guys get back to talking about what you love and what you are going to miss about Marvin. And
you got to tell me again, what do you guys have going on over the holidays? You guys have,
New Year's Eve party, Go to the website. You can still get tickets. I would get them now. They're probably going to be sold. Typically what happens is after Christmas, these things go real, real fast. And then just get like, Kroger, we're going to be in stores. 50 West is coming. We're excited about it. So,
and Christmas cookies on tap. Got to go get Christmas cookies.
Christmas cookie is there. And Christmas cookie is not going to last long. A fun story about Christmas cookie. We actually didn't get the beer out. Like our brewers were about 2 weeks late getting it out. There was a holdup on it in production, which is terrible for Christmas beers. But to Christmas cookie's credit, despite all the other beers on the shelf, when it actually went into went out for sale, it got bought up. Like accounts were just – they were dying for it. Like, we need it. We were afraid everyone's gonna be like, listen, we're all bought out on Christmas beers. We got 100. So if that tells you how good that beer is, if you see it on tap, drink it. It's fantastic. And,
where can I find Christmas cookie in Oakley? This is what I need to know.
Oh God, you're asking me a question. I gotta pull it up. I gotta pull that up.
All right, you send it to me later.
Answer.
I will let everyone know at the end of the podcast where to find Christmas cookie.
I'll text you.
Because when you tell me that, that's where you also find me. That's where I'm gonna be.
I love it.
I got to get it. All right, Bobby, thank you again. I appreciate it. And everybody, 50westbrew.com, make sure you go there and get your tickets for New Year's Eve. It's always a lot of fun, good food, good beer, all that stuff. So thank you, Bobby. We'll talk to you next week.
Hey, hooday, everybody. Hooday.
All right, so it got a little weird there with the Browns jersey situation.
Well, but, you know, it's that time of year. I just think
everyone, families are going to bicker.
And you know, everybody's just at a loss.
The Browns are particularly at a loss. They're at 14 losses, actually. Although, Hugh Jackson, 2-0 on Christmas Eve.
Wow.
You can't beat that guy on Christmas Eve. Look out, Bears.
Yeah, sure.
I think it's happening. I think the Browns get the win this weekend against the Fighting Trubisky's. I don't know. Maybe. It could. Well, let's get to the question.
Yeah.
Things we will miss most and miss least.
Okay, my miss most is easy, and as listeners of the BBP know, we bring you behind the scenes, and you also know that I root for me, and I will miss Marvin Lewis's fundamental understanding of what we do, how valuable we can be, and his sort of agreement with Mike Brown and the family in that sense. Marvin... Now, he's a pain a lot of times to us. He likes to backhand you on a regular basis.
That's correct.
He does like to go to national reporters for things, but he's available to us when we need him. He lets all of his coaches speak on a regular basis and be their own men. He lets all of his players speak. You know, he runs a little interference here and there at times, but I will miss that because I know that whatever the next head coach is, our access will change, our availabilities will change, and for the detriment to us and the detriment to you guys as Bengals fans, we will work to do what we can, but I will miss that.
I will actually, that was exactly what I was going to say, and specifically access to coaches.
Yeah.
Across the league, when I go to the Super Bowl, we meet at the Pro Football Writers Association meeting, and we talk to other beat writers, the situations that they are in, they are so jealous, especially when any of them that come in here, national writers come in here, like, man, your guys' access is incredible.
Right.
We can go and talk to whoever we want pretty much whenever we want, and it will almost always be met. Now, a lot of that is Mike Brown. He wants it that way, too. But Marvin was big into that because he felt when he was an assistant coach, being sort of muzzled a little bit was part of what hurt him in not getting a head coach job sooner. So he lets everybody out there and lets everybody talk and doesn't restrict anything. That's huge for us.
Yeah.
And it's the biggest reason.
It's big for you guys as fans.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we can only hope whoever's next will allow similar things, because that is the best part of what Marvin has done. What about what you'll miss least?
What I will miss least? I guess it would be the weird, it's funny, but I'll miss least some of the press conference stuff.
Ugh.
You know, it's hand in hand, you know what I mean? I guess if a head coach was more Mark Trestman-like, I mean, Bears fans can maybe Google his press conferences. There are some coaches who just really will talk. John Harbaugh, I think, fits into this. Jim Harbaugh fits into this. There's some coaches, head coaches, who will just be better at a press conference at the podium, and I won't miss just the arm wrestling with that stuff and just the, like, ugh.
I think it would be easy for me to say I will not miss being backhanded on a regular basis. But I actually, like, weirdly find joy out of that.
And the new coach may backhand you just as much.
Well absolutely. And there's going to be no shortage of backhanding, I'm sure. But, you know, I actually kind of find it hilarious now at this point. I wait for it, and I get excited that what question I ask is going to make him want to, like, drop a comment on me, try to make fun of my anything, really. But anyway... That's not what I'm going to say. I am going to miss least the complete, unabashed disdain created between him and the fans.
That's a good one.
It fills our days.
That's true. No,
you can't have rational discussion anymore about this team because the one issue with it, which is the head coach.
Hashtag fire Marvin Lewis.
Hashtag fire Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
0-7 in the playoffs.
Right.
All valid points. It has dominated everything inside and outside of this organization, and you can't have rational discussion about anything else because it always ends the same way. Fire Marv. Right. Marv screwed this up. We can't talk about anything else. That's all that matters. Or Mike Brown sucks or whatever. Like, I just can't stand that we can't have legitimate, like, discussions which was had with you and James.
Right.
About, like, legitimate personnel where people can have differences of opinion, because anytime you try to have one of those with anyone, because of the relationship created here by the head coach with the fans and through his time here, because of all of that, you end up where you can't even talk about things anymore because it all comes back to that. I will not miss that. I will enjoy having real conversations about how the team should operate going forward. All right. That's it. Do we have anything else we need to get to? Anything else you'd like to say?
Lions 28-7.
Oh yeah, I have 26-6. I'm not giving them a touchdown.
They're good for a garbage touchdown late with AJ McCarron.
Yeah, I mean, you're gonna have the offensive line is gonna be, you're gonna have guards playing tackle, guys who haven't played all year are gonna be in there. I don't know how they're gonna. I mean, it's gonna be ugly up front again.
Yeah, once they yank. You know, Detroit yanks the starters, and you know, they'll get a, you know, a turnover just like last week. They'll get a turnover plus side of the field and late score.
If you want to root for something, Bengals trying to be fifth team in NFL history to lose three consecutive games by 25 or more points. It's only happened four times, not once since 2002. No team has lost four in a row by 25 plus points. You can root for that too. They got two more to go.
Yeah.
Two more times to lay down.
Oh, God.
So it's almost over, folks. Don't worry. It's about to get real interesting in January. Yeah. So keep it locked to us. We will have all the information on coaching searches and the current status of the one that's telling us he's not leaving, even though he is, and all that stuff. So keep it locked here, Cincinnati.com, and get your Cincinnati Inquirer. Make sure you get our Bengals app. You need that. It has all the information. You can listen to the podcast, watch the videos, everything on there. Anyway, thanks for listening to the BBP. Thanks again to Hot Take James. Make sure you check them out, ESPN 1530, on their Cincy 360 show every day from 12 to 1. Good stuff. And thanks again to all of you for listening throughout the year. And Merry Christmas. Hope you all have a very happy holidays, and may Santa be good to you. So have a good one.